Good evening, everyone. One announcement before we start. Next week, I will not be here. I'm going to Israel for a week. So we'll be back the following Monday in 2 weeks, Be'ezrat Hashem. Today, I decided to talk about friendship. Finding a good friend. How do you find a good friend? Who's considered to be a good friend? Which friends you have to stay away from? What does it mean to be a good friend? And of course, all according to the advice of the Torah and the advice of Chazal, the sages. The Mishnah in Pirkei Avot, chapter 2, Mishnah 9, this is what it says. Tzur hu ezo hi derech yeshara sheidbok ba'adam. Go and check in life, what is the best way for a person to follow this path? What is the best way? Rabbi Eliezer says, Ayin Tova, good eye, meaning generosity, you know, positive person, generosity. Rabbi Yoshua says, Chaver Tov, find yourself a good friend. Whether somebody to learn with, somebody to watch over you, somebody to help you when you need, someone that you can count on. Rabbi Yossi say, Shachen Tov, have a good neighbor, good neighbor. Back in the time, it was more critical to have a good neighbor than today. Why? Because today, the distance has no meaning. A friend can come from anywhere in 5-10 minutes to you. You know, with a car or whatever, with a bus. Back in the time, you needed somebody in an immediate help. You need somebody that lives in the neighborhood near you. Because there's no way to come from far away until there's no way to call anyone. Therefore, you know, if you need a help, you need to have someone is a good neighbor that you can trust him, to leave the kids with him, to leave your money by him, to hide by him if it's necessary. Rabbi Shimon say, Aroe et anulad. Always good to see few steps ahead. When something begins now, use your head and your wisdom to see what's the next step and what's the next step and what's the next step, just like in a chess game. You have to calculate all the possibilities. The sharper you are, the more wisdom you have, more bina you have, the more possibilities you predict. You don't know which one of them will happen. So you have to calculate, what will I do if this will happen? What will I do if this will happen? What will I do if that will happen? You already have a plan to any possibility. What would happen if he pays me on time? What would happen if he doesn't pay me on time? What will I do if he tells me the check bounced? What will I do if he tells me I'm out of town? Every possibility. Sometimes it could be 100 possibilities. But a sharp person, he looks at all the possibilities. You know, like for instance, yesterday I met with someone who's beginning to become religious. And he lives in a place there's basically no Judaism. There's one local rabbi over there that was sent there. And right away, as soon as he recognized that this person starting to become religious, how the leech are when they smell blood, right away magnetized to him and started to blackmail him. give me money for this, give me money for that. When I heard that, right away I saw where it's going. In a week or two, this person will kick the religion and his wife completely to the garbage, and for the rest of their life, they will not want anything to do with religion. Why? After a month or two, they started to listen to my lectures, they started to become Shomrei Shabbat, to keep more modesty, to eat kosher food. I got him yesterday tefillin. So he's on the right path. The last thing you want is to talk about donations with someone that is 1 or 2 or 3 months Baal Tshuva. He's not ready for that yet. especially when the media is making such a bad reputation to the religion that it's about money and people come to you because they want your money or they want something from you. They already have it in the back of their mind or in the front of their mind. Sometimes it's really thinking about it all the time. So everybody who comes to them in religion, they recognize him as a threat. What is he here to get from me? So the idea is that even if they want to give, better not to take anything. No, no, don't give. Right now you focus on saving your neshama. Nobody here to take from you anything. Keep the money for yourself. No, no, but I want to give. No, it's okay. You will have time in the future to give. Right now, let's focus on you becoming Shomer Shabbat, doing this and this and that. Something like that will make him want to be religious much faster in a much healthier way. But if you come to him to get something out of him, it's just a matter of time until he kick you and he'll kick the religion. So I had to tell him, I'm warning you. The next time that person come to you, you tell him if he wants anything from you, he has to go through me, to come to me, and I will know how to handle him. Because I already see he's going to murder him. Another week or two. That's called Ro'et HaNolad. You see where it's going. It happens so many hundreds of times. You understand? Why doesn't he think about his soul? Why doesn't he think about the damage he's going to make him? The way he's going to think about religion? And this is assuming that what he's asking him money for, it's kosher. If it's not kosher, it's needless to say. Assuming that the causes are really real. Help this family and help this poor guy and help the shul and whatever. It's all, everybody needs money, of course. But assuming it's kosher, everything needs the right timing in life. You rush something too fast. Same thing when you date a girl. There are certain things you can say in the first date. Certain things you need to wait for the second date. Certain things you can only say a year later, after you're married and it's established. Not everything you can say in the beginning. Sometimes people rush. They feel comfortable and they say certain things. And then it may look very bad in the eyes of the other person, and they sometimes can blow up the shidduch, the date, by rushing things. If they would say it a month later, it would not be a problem. Now, it was premature. So this is called Ro'et HaNolad. You have to always predict what I'm about to do or to say, where it's going to end, what will be the reaction of it, what possibly could be the reaction. So Rabbi Shimon say, Ro'et HaNolad. He see what about to be born, meaning, this is an expression, predicting the reaction of his actions, what's about to happen. Rabbi Elazar say, Lev Tov. A person has a good heart, it's easy to walk with him. Even if you hurt him, you can compromise him, you know, he can apologize, he will accept it. He has a good heart. He's merciful. You know, he's positive, is not an evil person. It's easy to walk. By the way, you should know that in all the years, I found that it's much, much easier to make people with good heart religious. People that have evil heart, evil action, they are cruel, angry, arrogant, it's very difficult to make them religious. People that have nice, soft, warm, good heart personality, as soon as you show them the truth of the Torah, they feel very bad the way they are to Hashem. It bothers them very much. If all the time they try to be nice to people and not to hurt people and to help people and to have mercy on people, as soon as they find out that they are cruel to Hashem, not being aware of it until now, but as soon as they discover that they are nice to the whole world, but they're very, very bad to the one who supplied them with everything they have, it kills them from inside. That's why they're very open. Everything you tell them, they swallow it with hunger. Evil people, arrogant people, show-off people, proud people, angry people, everyone of them thinks he's a god. very difficult to penetrate anything to his heart of rock. That's one of the prayers that we have, that we, Hashem says to the prophet, the time will come, I will replace your stone heart, heart that made from stone from Iraq, into a heart of flesh, soft, to be able to absorb. Right now it's like a rock. Well, that's a generalizing, you know, I mean, this is a mamash, is going towards the entire nation, not to individuals. Meaning all of us needs an improvement in this field. So Rabbi Elazar said, Leftov. The conclusion of this Mishnah, Amar Lahem, Roe Ani Divre Rabbi Elazar Ben Arach Mi Divrechem, Shebichlal Dvarav Divrechem. The conclusion of this Mishnah is, Rabbi Elazar that concluded by saying good heart, the Mishnah say that everything that we mentioned before, meaning predict the future, good neighbor, good friend, good eye, all of that included in good heart. If you have good heart, you have everything. You're generous, you know, you have siyata dishmaya to predict the future, you are a good neighbor, everything is included in it. You're a positive person, you know, so that's the best advice out of all of them. But today, we're not only going to talk about good heart, we're going to focus on a good friend. What does it mean to be a good friend? Right? The Mishnah continues later and says, what is the way that a person should go far away from? Meaning, not going that path. Rabbi Eliezer say, Ayin Ra, evil eye, meaning, not Ayin Ra like the way we understand it. Ayin Ra means stinginess, no generosity. Everything he looks in a negative way. Even when he gives something, he gives it with a stiff heart. That's called Ayin Ra. Person that cannot see other people enjoying. If he hear that someone makes money or is successful, it kills him. If he heard that one of his friends from school got engaged, it kills him. If he got divorced and now he heard that someone else is getting divorced, it makes him feel great. If he see that things do not work for him, the more people are in this situation, it comfort him more. So that's called something like that. It's called Ayin Ra'ah. Rabbi Yehoshua say, Chavera, bad friend. We will see today what does it mean, bad friend. Not necessarily what we think. Rabbi Yossi say, Shachen Ra, bad neighbor. So it's exactly equal to the same beginning of the Mishnah, but just the opposite. Rabbi Yossi say, Shachen Ra, bad neighbor. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Alove Veno Meshalem. Over here, something new. Before, we didn't have someone who lend money or help or someone that borrow money and always pay on time. All of a sudden, Rabbi Shimon say, Alove Veno Meshalem. When you borrow, make sure you pay back. Sometimes people, they're honest, have good credit, they always pay on time. When they want to borrow, they have to always have a backup plan. What would happen if business will not be good? I'm counting on business to be good, so I say to my friend, lend me $5,000, in 3 months I'll pay you back. How do you know? Maybe something will happen in the market and business will be even worse than now, or will not improve. You're counting on a miracle? What happened in 3 months if you don't have enough money to pay back? Not only that, sometimes you need another loan. The situation became worse. So just because you're under pressure right now and you come to your friend, can you lend me money for 3 weeks, for 3 months, for 6 months, you have to have a backup plan. Meaning, and if in case I won't be able to pay you back because I don't have the cash, I will give you my watch. It's worth a lot more. So you take it, you sell it, you give me the difference. So at least you have a backup plan. Or if I won't be able to pay you for my business, then I'll take from my father and I'll give you. Because knowing my father will give me the money. Oh, that's a plan. Or I'll give you my car. Something that you have a backup plan. Sometimes people borrow money because they want to open a business. So they want to take a risk on your money. If it will work, they'll pay you back. Business won't be successful. You lost the money, not them. What's going on here? Who gave you permission to take a risk with someone else's money? But sometimes people don't pay, not because they don't have, because this is their personality. They're just not honest. Once they have the money, they forget your name. They don't answer the phone anymore. They do not cooperate. And then when they feel that you're not giving up, they'll find a reason why they shouldn't give you the money. Oh, you know what? I'm not paying you back. I just found out about you, this and this and that. What does it have to do with that? I lend you the money. You have to pay back. No, no. You know, now when I found out, you deserve this punishment. I will not give you the money. Ah, why? He wants to feel good with himself. How else is he going to relax his conscience? After all, it bothers him. How can I be such a person? He lent me the money when I needed it. And now when time came to pay back, I don't want to pay back. So he will find why he deserved to lose the money. אחד הלווה מן האדם כלווה מן המקום. You borrow money from an individual, it's like borrowing from Hashem. שנאמר, it says in Psalms 37, תהילים, לווה רשע ולא ישלם, וצדיק חונן ונותן. Someone who borrows and does not pay back is רשע, is wicked. And צדיק, someone that is righteous is having always mercy and is great and is generous to always give. Rabbi Elazar Omer Levra. Before he say Lev Tov is the most important. So he's consistent. He's consistent. What does it say? What does he say? The best thing is Lev Tov, good heart. The worst thing is bad heart. What does it mean, bad heart? Evil, jealous, arrogant, ungrateful, selfish, don't care about anyone besides himself. That's called bed levra. Amar lahem, same conclusion over here, but this time to the negative side. Roe ani divrei Elazar ben Arach midivrechem, shebichlal dvarav divrechem. I see that from all the options that you gave, Rabbi Elazar ben Arach is the most right one, you know, is right. And so now we have it both ways. Okay, so this is the Mishnah in Pirkei Avot, as we say, chapter 2, Mishnah 9. Now we're focusing today in this lecture about Chaver Tov, a good friend. What does it mean to have a good friend? The Gemara in Masechet Sanhedrin, page 23, this is what the Gemara says. כך היו נקיי הדעת שבירושלים עושים. The people, the righteous people in Yerushalayim, we're talking 2,000 years ago, this is how they used to behave. What? לא היו נכנסים בסעודה, אלא אם כן יודעים מי מסב עמהם. When they were invited to a meal, שבע ברכות, בר מצווה מיל, שבס מיל, meal, seudah, could be mitzvah, could be just seudah. They will never come before they check carefully who will participate in this meal. Who's going to be there? Rabbi X, hi, how are you? Tomorrow we're making in my house sheva brachot for the chatan and kala. We want you to come and eat with us and participate. Thank you very much for the invitation. May I ask who's going to be there? A, B, C, D, E, F, G. Oh, G is a very big rasha. Everybody else, nice people, good people. G, Chalel Shabbat, jealous, negative, dirty mouth, Lashon Hara. The way he eats, the way he talks, the way he speaks about religion. Thank you very much. Tomorrow I'm very busy, I cannot attend. Maybe in another time. Why? What's the big deal? But everyone else is fine. Sit next to someone else. Don't have to sit, you know, exactly in front of him. The answer is, Rashi writes, שגנאי הוא לתלמיד חכם לישב אצל עם הארץ בסעודה. it's very negative for someone that is a Talmid Chacham, someone that knows a lot of Torah, to sit in the same table to eat with another Jew that is an ignorant Jew. We're not talking about evil here. We're not talking about someone that is arrogant and jealous and bad. The total opposite. Nice, soft, generous, respect Torah, good person with good heart, but doesn't know any Torah, no Torah, ignorant. Now, we're not talking evil, Mamash, a person who comes to step the rabbis, no. We're talking just someone that Am Haaretz, doesn't know any Torah. He will talk about sport. He will talk about Trump against Hillary, because he doesn't know any better. What else will he talk about? He will talk about the new Ferrari who's coming out. He will talk about the new championship and the player that is retiring and how much he's going to make. What is he going to talk about? Not because he's evil. For sure he's going to talk about something that it's pure Dvarim Betelim, waste of time. I'm reading to you the Gemara in Masechet Sanhedrin, page 23. גנאי הוא לתלמיד חכם לשב אצל עם הארץ בסעודה. When ignorant people wants to give you respect, come sit, eat with us, you have to pass on the invitation without, of course, offending them or hurting them or insulting them. Why? The question is why now? So he's talking a little bit about sport. You think about your Gemara. Don't pay attention to what he talks about. Obviously, he's not going to talk about dirty things in front of the rabbi, even though there are ignorant people that they also do that. Most of them, they will give respect. Hey, how you talk next to the rabbi? At least wait until he leaves. Many ignorant people, when the rabbi is coming to be mesader kiddushim in the wedding, they put mechitza, and they're counting the minutes where he would leave already, that they can take off the separation between the men and the women, that they all can gather together and mingle. But as long as the rabbi is there, so wait, Abba, wait, the rabbi is still here. Oh, how long is he going to stay? How long is he going to stay? You understand? Soon as he leaves, they break the mechitza to pieces. Pin in the neck. You understand? The question is, what's the problem of sitting with someone that he doesn't know Torah? Poor guy. What do you want? He grew up in Russia, in Moscow. His parents send him to learn piano. He'll play Beethoven, Mozart, Tchaikovsky, whatever you want he knows. But he doesn't know Torah. He's very sophisticated. He has a degree. He has a nice suit. What's the big deal? Could be a very big politician, great big businessman. He owns 47th Street. He's an expert in diamonds. What could be so bad that you sit and eat with him and both of you take the pita and lift the hummus like this and eating while you're talking about important things? What can be bad with that? Huh? The answer is, when you sit and eat with a person, it makes a strong connection between you and him. Either you or him, or you and her. Eating with someone together, making a connection. That's why it's rule number one in business. You want to get a big client? Lunch in a fancy restaurant. Let him eat and drink. What kind of whiskey you want, Mr. X? Choose. On the house. Eat dessert. No, I'm good. No, bring him dessert. Why? You feed him well. He's exploding. Now you take the papers out. Sign here. His eyes are closed already. He signs everything. Tomorrow, when he'll be hungry again, he will think, what have I done? But that they say in Israel, Aderech lelibo shel ha'adam iderech a keres. You want to enter to the heart of the man, You want him to love you, to marry you? The way to his heart goes through his stomach. The stomach will be satisfied, the heart will also be satisfied. So the question is, if a Talmid Chacham sits with Am Haaretz and eats with him, it creates very strong friendship between them. No, so what's bad with that? Then it will be a lot harder to get rid of him. He would like it every 2 days or every week, because he enjoy to eat with the rabbi and to talk and to ask him all his personal questions. So for him it's not bad. But for the rabbi, it brings him into the level of this ignorant person, and therefore it's not good. Not to talk about the spirituality of it, that's another problem. We're talking when it comes to friendship. That's why when you sit with an idol worshiper goy, some kind of a Christian guy, you sit and you eat with him, you become yadid with him. When you shake hands with a person, your hand and his hand goes together. Yad in Hebrew, it's 14. Yud, 10, Dalet, 4. You come to say hello and you leave, that's it? Huh? Thank you. Very good. Baruch Hashem. So, Yad is 14, and another Yad is 14. Together, when you put together, it's 28 Gimatria Koach. Koach means strength. When two people shake hands, it becomes a covenant. And they become ally. Together, they can do a lot more than each one of them individually. So that's one problem. Second problem is, it's become yadid. Yad and yad, yud, daled. It's giving us one word, yadid, friendship. You have to make sure you know who you choose to become your friends. I'll give you an example. Amar Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai letalmidav. Was the president of Israel 2,000 years ago. Ezo hi derech yeshara sheidvok ba'adam, as we just said before. Rabbi Yoshua say, chaver tov, good friend. Rabbi Yossi say, shachen tov. The Bartenura, Rabbi Ovadia Bartenura, he was mefaresh, explaining the Mishnayot 500 years ago. Shemochicho, who is a good friend? What's considered a good friend according to the Torah and to Hashem? A friend שמוכיחו כשרואה אותו עושה דבר שאינו אגון. A friend that will rebuke you as soon as he sees that you do something against the Torah. You dress not modest, right away he begins to tell you. You're not embarrassed to dress like this, my friend. What kind of kippah you put? Size of a dime. At least make it size of a quarter. Why it's so small, you know? Can fit it inside the ear. Make it a little bit bigger. Don't be a nudnik. What is it your business? What size is my kippah? Oh, you cannot accept when someone rebuke you. It's a problem. A kosher Jew is happy when someone comes and rebuke him. Why you don't make bracha? Why you do this? Why you pray so late? Why you don't pray? Why you do this? Why you do that? Why you trying to save here? Why you giving too much over there? Especially if he knows that this friend really likes him and cares about him. He gives him the advice of the Torah. Even though sometimes it gets on your nerve, you must always remind yourself what's better, a friend like this or a wicked friend who keeps complimenting me. Great. You don't need to be fanatic. Great, you're normal. Great, what's wrong with going to the club in Manhattan? The rabbis are exaggerating. You're great. I love religious guys like you. Religious. He gives you lots of compliments. What's wrong with listening to music of Goyim? It's too much. It's extra. Well, what's wrong with listening to this guy or to this band? What's wrong with that? This Bukharian singer, you know, he sings about God. Yeah, he sings about God. But in between one God to another God, he has 300 words of erva and zima. Any dirty thing you may think of. between one song to another song, 500 different songs of Hashem Yirachem. So the idea is, someone that rebuke you is very good. Who is a chaver tov? Bar tenura say shemochichok sheroe oto ose davar sheino agun. When he see you doing something not decent, right the way he comes to rebuke you. Bedome leze amru kol ahava she'en ima tochecha ena ahava. In another place, in Bereshit Rabbah, chapter 54, this is what it says. Every love that does not have any rebuke with it, it's not a love. How do you know if your wife really loves you or your husband really loves you? How do you know? When he sees or she sees that you do something wrong, they argue with you full force. Even if she yell or they get upset, but they don't give up. If they give in, that means they don't love you enough. Maybe they love you, but not enough. A real way, if a husband sees that his wife is about to go to the street, not modest. He speaks to her in a nice way. How can you dress like this? You're going to accumulate now a million sins today, all day. Isn't it a shame? Talks to her in a nice way, without a gun to the head. At least not yet. But he speaks to her heart. Sometimes, usually, she will feel embarrassed, if not from Hashem, from her husband. And she will go and change. She knows, how will I go all day thinking my husband is upset at me the way I left the house? Most women, especially the kosher one, obviously, they will go and change. Okay, don't get angry. You're right, let me go change. Some of them, they won't do it, but the reason that they won't change, not necessarily because they disagree. In their mind, they know it's right. She knows it's not modest what she's wearing. Too tight or too short, she knows. If she's religious, she knows. So why she insists to go like this? Because she either hates her husband or she does it to get him angry. Many times people hurt each other, not because they think it's the right thing to do, because they have personal issues one with the other. If a person that comes to rebuke you in shul, it's someone that you cannot stand for whatever reason. Maybe he's annoying, maybe he's making the place dirty, maybe he never donates, maybe he never volunteers to clean, maybe he makes too much noise. Maybe he's asking too many personal questions. There's a reason why you don't like him. Or maybe you just don't like the way he looks. There are people like this also. I don't like him. It's not my style. I don't like people like this. So because he doesn't like him, obviously when the person would come to rebuke him, he automatically shuts off. He doesn't even listen to him. And if he does listen to him, not only does not accept the rebuke, he gets even angrier and hates him even more. So that's a very bad sign about yourself, not about him. He could be maybe nudnik, he can be maybe a person that has issues, but a person has to look at himself. What I was just told, it's true or not true? Forget about who said it. It's right or wrong? Am I about to leave the house not modest? Yes. Doesn't matter the annoying one is telling it to you, your friend or your husband or someone you're angry at. In Hebrew, we call it chisul cheshbonot. You know what chisul cheshbonot? You want to get him on something else. Now you have the opportunity to hurt him over here. So it's eye for an eye. That's not the way of the Torah. No. So, obviously, sometimes we find that the wife is more religious than the husband. Sometimes it's the other way around. The husband goes to yeshiva and is an avrech, is growing spiritually, and the wife, she's not barely listened to Torah, she's very modern, and the husband becomes very religious, and now they're beginning to have issues. He's so religious, and she's not even a quarter of him. Obviously, it's going to create a lot of conflicts. Sometimes it's the other way around. The wife is very modest, very righteous, stick to the Torah and to Halakha, and the husband all days in 47th Street. He doesn't exactly learn or listen to the words of the rabbis, so barely agree to keep Shabbat, barely. Sometimes he walks without kippah, no tzitzit, sometimes he eats kosher, sometimes not, depend on how much the register printed today, the cash register. And a good day, okay Hashem, I'll do you a favor, I'll make Birkat Amazon. The business wasn't so good in the last 3 days, and now he's angry at Hashem. So obviously, you know, you need a kosher wife to stand like a wall between her husband to the sins. One woman told me, what can I do? I'm Shomer Shabbat. My husband doesn't want to keep Shabbat. There's nothing I can do. He gets in a car and he drives. And me and the children are home, and the children see their husband doing such a thing. So I told her, you don't love your husband enough. You're not doing enough. What else can I do? What, I'm screaming, crying? What am I going to do? So I say, next time he's about to turn to get into the car, you go and lay behind the car on the driveway. You want to drive on Shabbat? You kill me first. You will see, he will get the point. You have to do something drastic. If your wife is about to do something horrible that she's losing her Olam Haba, what are you going to stand by the door and say, enjoy your day, honey. I know I told you what to do. Don't listen. Fine. No. If your wife is about to take a machine gun and go kill all your family, right? She's angry. She starts with your father and your mother and your brother and your sisters and their children. 60 people are about to get a bullet to their head. Okay, honey, I hope that I can convince you not to do such a thing. But you don't listen to me. Go ahead. What are you going to do? You lock her, you take a rope and tie her, right? And you're going to stand her over there, and if she wants to leave, you're going to be violent with her. Why? You don't want a tragedy to happen. But she walks half naked on the street, which is million sins per day, which comes to your file also, to your account, not only to hers. Because your husband is supposed to prevent it. So what happened? All of a sudden you became lenient. No problem. Why? What do I care? Ah, to kill my parents? Of course I care. My brother, my sister, my business, this. Of course I care. The credit card. I care. Modesty? Actually, I like it that she walks in the street provocative. They hate to admit it, but sometimes they feel he's a macho. He comes to the wedding, you know, he looks at all his young friends. He brags, right? His wife look more attracting than their wives. He doesn't understand that this stupid show-off would cost him fortune when the time comes. We have to be very, very careful. Very, very careful. Sometimes wives are afraid from their husbands. They're afraid. What am I going to do? He's going to leave me. He's going to leave me with the children and won't give me money. So the question you have to ask is, wives, you're afraid of him or you're afraid of Hashem? That's the question you have to ask yourself. Who comes first, him or Hashem? If he say one thing and Hashem say the opposite, who should you listen to? To Hashem. But what happens if I'll pay an immediate price? He's going to say to me, you know what? You don't want to do it my way? Let's go get divorced. So what? So you get divorced. So what happened? What will happen? There is a girl that she's slowly, slowly converting to Judaism. She worked for two Israelis in real estate. They were anti-religion. Not only they're not religious, they make fun. She tried to give them CDs, they make fun. She talks to them about doing certain mitzvot, putting tefillin, all kinds of things, they make fun. What happened when you talk to two clowns and try to make them closer to Hashem? Once, twice, 10 times, 20 times. What happened in the end? You get on their nerve. What happened when you get on their nerve?
They fire you.
Now when they warn you, if you're not going to stop, we will fire you. What are you supposed to do? Huh? Depend. Are you afraid that you're going to lose money because you're doing the right thing of rebuking two Jews to show them the truth in life? You're afraid that you're going to lose from it? If you think that by doing what the Torah requires you to do, right? If you think that there's a possibility that you're going to lose because of that, that means you don't understand Hashem and you don't understand Judaism. Because we have a very, very important solid rule. No one in a history ever lost or will ever lose from doing what Hashem wants him to do. Impossible. So if now you see in your own eyes that they're firing you, and you're supposed to make, I don't know, by the end of this week, another $600-$700 salary, and this week you get nothing, and next week nothing, and next week nothing, and next week nothing. Already you're out of your pocket $2,500. And then the landlord comes and knocks on your door. No, where is the rent? I'm sorry, I got fired 4 weeks ago. I cannot pay the rent. I'm very sorry, you have to leave. 48 hours, you must leave. And it looks that it only gets worse. And then you begin to have second thoughts. Why was I such a nudnik, a pest? They don't want to be religious. It's their problem. Why did I annoy them? I should have stopped. And you begin to eat your heart. Why did I do it? And then you lose your reward and the money. What's the right way? Nothing to be ashamed of. I see two of your sons living like goyim, eating treif, going out with girls they're not supposed to, not honest in a business, don't keep Shabbat. I cannot sit in an office being their secretary and it won't burn my heart. And she's not officially Jewish yet. Look at what's going on here. I'm talking, assuming a person is a Jew and that's his obligation. Someone that is in the process of converting still does not have an obligation to run and rebuke Jews. But let's get the point. So the point was that one day she sent a message that she just got fired because of that. And I say to her, don't be afraid, don't worry. Pass the test that Hashem will give you in the next few weeks or so, and then only something good would come out of it. Because we have a rule. If people that goes against Hashem, many times He helps them, someone that listens to Him, it's needless to say that only good will come to him. So nothing to worry about. It's just, let's see what prize Hashem was going to give you. 1 week, no job. Second week, no job. Third week, she found a job. Where? Ultra, ultra Orthodox family. Very religious family that own a business. Now she works for very religious people. Much more money. So she got the mitzvah of trying to save them. Now she's going to be officially a Jew. Those two Israelis, they would lose their share to the world to come, unless Bezrat Hashem one day they will become religious. But if they die like this, Mechalelei Shabbat, they lose their share to the world to come. Where is their share will go to? To this girl. She's going to earn it. So no matter what, she cannot go wrong. Now she's going to get two shares of two fools. She's going to get the Olam Haba. Plus she got a better job. Plus she makes more money. And plus, before she officially became Jewish, she already have good points in her file. Before even. Why? She did what 90% of Jews from birth wouldn't do. They wouldn't risk their job trying to save a soul of their boss. Why? There's a 50% chance to get fired. Meaning I'm going to lose from it. I'm willing to do what you want, Hashem, as long as it doesn't cost me. And Adkan, until here. If it's going to cost me, don't push too hard. I'm not interested. That's not the right way. That's a good point. People, before they convert, they have less Yetzer Hara. That's for sure. Now, so, Bartenura explained the words of the Mishnah. Someone that rebukes you when he sees that you're doing something not decent and against the halakha, then it's a good friend. Kol ahava she'en ima tochecha. Someone that you love, or he loves you, or she loves you, but you do not rebuke each other when somebody does something wrong, that means you don't care about what's going to be the end of that person. If you don't care, it shows that you don't love him. There's no other way. And this is the Gemara in Midrash, Bereshit Rabba, chapter 54. ואין לאדם להירתה מן חבר כזה. Person should not stay away from such a friend. Don't say, oh, he's such a nudnik. He's such a pest. He's annoying. He doesn't leave me alone. No, 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 that's not the right approach. כי אהוב את המוכיחך. Love someone that מוכיחה. Someone that is rebuking you. Love him. ושנה את זה שמשבחך. Hate the one that gives you compliments. Not literally hate, to go and fight with him. Meaning, I'm not interested in such a friend. You're the best, such a great person. You're the best, you're this, you're that. Where is it going to get me? Compliment, compliment, compliment will never make me rise. My, I'm great, look, I'm great. When will I wake up? Somebody that comes to me, hey, come you. You're not embarrassed of yourself? Look what you just did. Look what you're doing. Look what you're about to do. Constantly give you hard words of inspiration and encouragement and rebukes you. Then you know he cares about you. And I'm not talking someone who does it to put you down. Sometimes people do it because they hate you. They want to put you down, so they pretend they care about you. You have to know who's a good friend and who's not. Not a faker, not a hypocrite. How do you know if a person really cares about you or not? If he always rebukes you, everything you do wrong, it's a chance that he likes you very much. If he only rebukes you when he feels like it, depend on the situation, then it's not necessarily a sign that he likes you. What else? What is the reason you have to love someone that rebukes you and does not let you make sins? What is the reason you have to love him? The answer, שמביאך לחיי העולם הבא. Because he brings you into life of eternity. Today, people make a lot of different sins. Lots of different sins. Some sins, especially in a house, between husband and wife. For instance, if the husband will eat something not kosher, he got a pizza, not kosher. What are you doing, Moshe? How can you do such thing? What is the punishment? He doesn't lose his olam haba. He just made one sin from the Torah. It has a punishment, but the punishment doesn't mean that he lost his olam haba. Even if he eats it every day, it still doesn't mean he lost his olam haba. But if he's mechalel Shabbat, right away he loses olam haba. If he wants to have a relationship with his wife without mikveh, she didn't go to the mikveh, that's worse than sleeping with his own mother. It's a bigger sin than sleeping with your own mother. If a person has a relationship with his wife before she went to the mikveh, it's a bigger sin than actually have intimate relationship with his own mother or sister, with a bigger punishment. It's written in Parashat Acharei Mot. We read it in Yom HaKippurim, in Mincha, the most critical hour of the year. How many millions of dollars a person would agree to accept to have relation with his own mother? Show me that person. $10 million cash. Do you know anyone that would agree? If somebody say, I agree, put him in a mental institution for the rest of his life. That's where he belongs. 100%. Somebody normal for money will do such thing? How will he live with himself after that? How would he be able to even stand again next to his family? And being with his wife without mikveh, it's a bigger sin. Hashem said, Ve'elisha benidat umata lo tikrav legalot ervata. You understand what we're talking here about? So there are sins in the Torah that sometimes people do not understand how horrible and what punishment they're going to get. Not to talk about the punishments also in this world. that all the parnasa is no blessing, and you lose money, and then you make, and then one day you invest, and everything is gone in a minute. And it keeps happening to people all the time. Somebody needs a loan. You give him a loan, the money is gone. Someone invest 20% profit you're going to make in 1 month. Where? What? You put the money, boom, complications. The money is gone. And you don't see the connection. What's the connection? Zera levatala, wasting seed. No taharat mishpacha, no shmirat shabbat. Those are the sins who destroyed your life here and destroyed your eternity over there. You understand? And that's why a person has to be very, very careful. If you have your friend, but Chazon Ish say, if a husband goes to jail, he gets arrested, and you can release him on bail. It's a very big mitzvah, right? You're allowed to sell Sefer Torah to release a Jew from jail. The Goyim capture Moshe, they put him in jail. He's suffering in jail now. Not the jails of today that they have television and peanut butter with jelly. No. Jail, like in Turkey. Every second over there it's Gehenom. Or by the Arab countries. In places like this. So, you know your friend is suffering a nightmare over there. Nightmare. Cannot eat. People abuse him. Verbal abuse. Physical abuse. And you can go and put a few $1,000 and release him now. You can release him. But you know that he doesn't keep Taharat Mishpacha with his wife. He wants to be with his wife without mikveh. You're not allowed to release him. You leave him over there. But he may die. Let him die. Chazon Ish. Don't release him. Better for him to stay in jail. Why? He comes out right the way he goes and have relation with his wife. It's like being with his mother. What's better, to be in jail or to go and make a scene with your mother? The punishment that you're going to get is a million times worse than some amigo giving you some smacks in jail. Right or wrong? Makes sense or don't make sense? Of course makes sense. The problem is that nobody knows it because they never read the Torah. They don't learn halakha. The Gemara says one woman came to Beit HaMidrash. She came into the yeshiva crying. She was holding the clothes of her husband. He died young. She said to the rabbi, where is the justice of the Torah? The Torah say, my husband was keeping Shabbat, learning Torah, keeping mitzvot, putting tefillin, eating kosher. How did he die young? The Torah said that if you keep the mitzvot, you live longer, not short life like this. So the rabbis in yeshiva 2,000 years ago, they told her, did you keep taharat mishpacha with your husband? You went to the mikveh? She said, of course. Did you sleep together in the same bed? She said, yes, but we didn't touch each other. Just slept in the same bed. But of course, we never touched each other. The rabbis, all of them in yeshiva, it's not rabbis of today. It's rabbis of 2,000 years ago. The Tanaim that wrote the Talmud. They know all the Torah by heart, from left to right, from right to left. They all told her, bless Hashem that killed your husband. In her face. There was no political correctness. In her face, they told her, bless Hashem that killed your husband young. Why? That he dared to sleep in the same bed with you in the time of the Nida. Not to talk about touching or having relation with her. Hashem Yirachem. That's not the bichlal, we didn't even get to that. Just that he agreed to sleep 10 inches away. They say to her face, thank God for killing your husband. Why? Your husband put himself in the fire, you expect him not to get burned? Just, that's the justice of the Torah. Go and tell it to the secular people today. The next day you're going to see yourself in a newspaper, fanatic, crazy, lunatic, extreme. Why? Ignorance. They never read the Torah once in their life. They think you make it up. I know myself. I never make up things. I tell you something, you have source for it. Otherwise, I wouldn't know it. Where did I learn it? Not in the New York Times. If I say something, I learn it from the Torah. You understand? It's either from Shulchan Aruch, or from the Rambam, or from the Gemara, or from the Zohar, or from the Chumash, or from the Navi. It came from a holy source. This is what I just told you. It's in the Torah, in the Zohar, in many places in the Gemara, in the Rambam, in Shulchan Aruch, in every holy rabbi that wrote books of halachot, it's there. You won't find one that does not have what I just told you. Ve'elisha benida tumata lo tikrav legalot ervata. You're not coming even near your wife when she's in nida until she came back from the mikveh. You don't come near her. Don't smell her from clothes. Don't use the same towel. Don't eat from the same plate. Don't pass from hand to hand. Yeah, your wife wants to give you tea now. She has to put it on the table and you pick it up. You don't take it from her hand. Even a baby, 1 week old, you have to move him from hand to hand. You may touch her by mistake. You're not allowed. She has to put the baby on the bed and you pick up the baby from the bed. Even to transfer from hand to hand, you're not allowed. Even if she's sick, she needs you to help her, to comfort her. You're not allowed. You have to hire someone, a nurse or someone to do it. What do you think? It's a joke? One time I had a guy and two girls. He has a girlfriend and she had a friend. Two girls. He was a taxi driver in Borough Park. Israeli guy. Nathan, his name. His girlfriend, her name was Shelly. She worked in Jerusalem Steakhouse in Brooklyn. And her friend Dana, she was also a waitress in Jerusalem Steakhouse. That's when I met all three of them, where they are not religious. I met him in a taxi office. But over there, they told me, on your way to your lecture, maybe you go and speak for half an hour for the taxi drivers. He was there. I spoke there. Then he started to come to the lecture. He brought his girlfriend. Then I invited them for Shabbat. And he said to me, but I have to come with my girlfriend and her friend. Is it okay? I say, okay, yeah, they can stay by our house and you sleep by the neighbor. Okay, no problem. So they sit by me the entire Shabbat in a Shabbat table. Now you have a boyfriend and a girlfriend that Baruch Hashem already became Shomrei Shabbat. They eat kosher. But they live together in the same apartment. Why do you talk to a boy and a girl that lives together and every time they're together, they break the Isur Nida, which I just told you. The worst thing, the worst, which is Isur Karet. When someone touch a woman that she's impure before the mikveh, that's a cut for his soul and for her soul for eternity in Olam Haba. They get cut for eternity. It's horrible. And to make tshuva for it, not enough just to stop and to regret and to be ashamed and to make confessions. And 15 Yemei Kippur, it's still not erased. You must receive a lot of suffering in your life to erase it. Without suffering, it's not erased. If you make tshuva and you don't get suffering for it, that means you're going to suffer in Gehenom for it, which is a lot worse. You better hope Hashem will give you your punishments in this world. Because if not, Hashem Yerachem, what you expected? So what happened? For 2 hours I talked to them in a table. Tried to convince them to separate. That he will move alone and the girls would be alone. And he said to me, I don't mind. Well, we cannot afford two rents. I'm a taxi driver and she's a waitress. We cannot pay two different rents. So I said, I have an idea. You don't need to pay rent at all. You come here to Monsi to our yeshiva. You live here for free. You learn Torah. You don't need. She will put her in a midrashia in Brooklyn for the girls. Few months you learn and she would learn. And you get married. And then you move in. Then you can find a job. You do whatever you want. They look at each other, no, it's premature, not yet, I'm not ready for yeshiva, I'm not ready for midrashia, we're trying to save money. After, no matter what I've done, it didn't help. So I said, what do I have to lose? Anyway, now they're going to go get a Shabbos nap, soon it's going to be the end of Shabbat, and I lost them. They go back to Brooklyn, they move in, finished. So I said to him, How about we're going to do goral? We'll open the Torah. Whatever comes on the right side is a message from Hashem. You agree? He looks at me, say, what, it's working like this? I say, yes. We're going to make a special prayer, and we're going to do goral. You will open and see what Hashem says. But you must listen to it. It's not a joke. He looks at her, you agree? She say, yes. You agree? Yes, come. We make prayers, Hashem, please show me what you really want. What do you want us to do? I say to him now, Hashem. Shabbat afternoon. He opened the Torah like this. First row on the right side. First row. Ve'elisha benidat umata lo tikrav legalot ervata. Don't come near a woman in nida, in purity, to have relation with her, and right after that, that I will cut both of your souls forever. That's what he opened. The girl, she gave such a scream. You know when girls scream? And it turns into crying. She zoomed into the room. She got the shock of her life. And this guy, Nati, I'm telling you names, Nathan and Shelly. Baruch Hashem, this story had a happy end. I can tell it to you. They did tshuva and they got married, everything fine. But he looked at me speechless, like this. Why? I said, you're coming to the yeshiva. We'll put them in a midrashia. They got married, Baruch Hashem, and the other girl also became religious, Dana. It was a happy end. They moved to Israel. One day somebody interviewed him in a lecture. And he told the story, how he met me in New York and how he became religious. And they moved to Israel, Baruch Hashem. So that's how important it is. Hashem was willing to make a clear miracle to save these two neshamot. So now, Bartenura continue, and he says, someone that compliments you constantly is not a good friend. If you're down and he compliments you to cheer you up, of course, he has good intention. But if he never rebukes you, only tells you how great you are, you will never improve. If he rebukes you, that means he cares about you. מביאך לחיי העולם הבא והמשבחך מוציאך מן העולם. Someone who keeps giving you compliments is destroying your עולם הבא, destroying you. That's why I made a lecture and the people got angry when I made that lecture. That I say about some people, they call themselves rabbis, not rabbis, it doesn't really matter. It applies to rabbis, it applies to ordinary Jews. That they go to the wicked people and give them all kinds of compliments. You're great, there's no such thing, chiloni, there's no such a thing, a wicked Jew, all Jews are diamonds. You're not allowed to say this, just speak positive, don't tell them anything bad about what they do, they all go to heaven, of course. So what do we need Torah for? What all the warnings to the wicked Jews? What do we need it for? There's no such thing, wicked Jews. Why the Torah speaks about executions? What is this? You're wasting our time? This is according to you, there's no wicked people, no execution. Don't talk negative. Don't say punishment. Everyone is an angel. Why learning Torah? Why wasting time in Judaism, Bechlal? Be a goy. Marry Christine. Be mechalel Shabbat. Be a murderer. You're going to heaven between Rabbi X and Rabbi Y. You're going to be between those two holy people. Why? Don't say chiloni. Beloni. That's not Judaism. That's a murder. Someone who comes to these key people, the Jews, and give them compliments. You are great. You have nothing to worry. You're a tzaddik. He is nothing but a murderer. But the difference is that a murderer murdered the body. He cannot murder the soul. The soul maybe went to heaven. But this kind of a person murdered the soul. Why people compliment wicked people? Out of interest. They have an interest. What's their interest? Usually money. They want him to come. They want him to like. They have something in their mind that caused them to be hypocrite and give them false lies and make Hashem angry. You don't want to criticize him. You don't want to put him down. You don't want to discourage him? Fine. But don't give him fake compliments. Don't tell him you're a tzaddik. You have nothing to worry. He has a lot to worry. Tell him, I'm going to pray that Hashem will open your eyes and you'll see the truth. Before, God forbid, you may lose the entire purpose of your life. What do you mean, Rabbi? What do you mean I lose my purpose? Well, if you learn Torah, you know that Hashem is very generous when it comes to reward, but is very strict when it comes to punishment. You must learn what your way is going to lead you to. You give him enough hints. You don't have to say right away, wow, in Olam Haba, you're going to get the worst punishment, you're going to hell. You don't have to. If you feel that he's not in a level to hear the truth, tell him 10% of the truth. But tell him something. He cannot be eating by your table for 10 years with his non-Jewish wife and you only give him compliments because he writes nice checks. How long this fake thing will go on and nobody say anything about it? The idea is we must stick to the text of the Torah, not to what we feel or think. So the Bartanura say, Kne lecha chaver. You want a good friend? Buy him with money, top dollars. Since when it's a good idea to buy a friend? When you give money and gift to a friend to become your friend, you have to bribe him. What kind of friend is going to be? It's a bloodsucker. It's a person it's a leech. He saw an opportunity and he only attached to you because you're generous with him. See tomorrow when you cut the budget, if he wants to even be near you. This is a good advice, with all due respect. This is Rav Ovadia Bartenura, a holy mefaresh 500 years ago. The answer is, that's not him. That's Pirkei Avot, 2,000 years ago. It's the word of Chazal. אפילו אתה צריך לקנותו בדמים יקרים ולפזר עליו ממון כדי שתקנה אהבתו. There is a rule in life. What's the rule? The rule is, when you give the person that you give to, you develop feelings to him. Also the receiver, when he receives from you, it makes connection. Ahava in Judaism, ahava, it means to give. That's how you show that you love. Children, people willing to give them their life. How many parents in history sacrifice their own life to give life to their children? Or that they saved all their life money and in the end, in one shot, they gave everything to the kid. To buy him, to do for him. Why is it? That's a sign of love. However, when you give to a person, you have to also test him. How do you test a person? Sometimes you stop giving him. A week or two, you give nothing. He got used to come to receive. 2-3 weeks, you give him nothing, you see how he reacts. If he runs away and he doesn't come anymore, then you know the only reason he was next to you is because to take advantage on you. But if business is usual, he continues to come and he helps when it's necessary and he behaves the same. You go back to give, and you can give for the rest of your life, because by giving, you're never losing. One more thing. Melamed sheikne ha'adam chaver le'atzmo. Person will buy himself a friend, sheyochal imo, to sit and eat with him, ve'ishte imo, to drink with him, not whiskey, not vodka, water. Ve'ikra imo ve'ishne imo. He would learn with him chumash and gemara. They can be roommates. And he will be able to trust him that, you know, when you need somebody to know a secret, listen, I want you to know if something happened to me, I have a safe in this bank. This is the code. Something ever happened, you go and take the money and give it to my children. Oh, why? You can trust him. You know, he's a tzaddik. He will never touch. After years that you're with him, you know, he doesn't touch a pen without permission. He has Yirat Shamayim. They have nothing to be afraid of. Davar Nosaf, one more thing. How do you sharpen a knife? with another knife. In order for you to become a better and better learner, you need somebody else that is sharp. One sharp student and another sharp student, each one of them sharpen the other. But if you're alone, there's nobody to sharpen you. Meaning when you learn with someone, you can always learn by yourself, but there's a limit to how much you achieve. But if you learn with someone, he shows you things you didn't pay attention to. He asks questions. He constantly makes you think. He challenges what you say. He disagrees with answers you give. The learning is 100 times greater than when you learn on your own. However, we found many big rabbanim that up to a certain age, 40, 50, they learn chevrutot all their life. Then they reach to a level that nobody comes near them. It's pure waste of time to learn with someone. Because you are here and he's here, and the level of his questions only holding you back, and then you try someone else, and it's not the same. From then on, you go with the books for the rest of your life, non-stop, and learning. We saw a very big doleador like Rav Eliashiv, most of his Torah, most of his life, at least 50, 60 years, he was learning on his own. Why? Who can learn with him in his level? He learned 98 years straight. He passed 102 years old. Since they put him in Talmud Torah when he was 4, he learned nonstop 98 years. Was the big judge in a Batei Din. When Rav Ovadia was young, he was already an older Dayan, 20 years older, almost. Rav Ovadia was in his 20s, he was already Dayan in his 40s. Was always 20 years ahead. He's a very big Chacham. And many others, there's many other examples. One more thing. The book of Mesilat Yesharim, first the Rambam says, in Akdama LePerusha Mishnayot, in his introduction to the Mishnayot, why Hashem created all kinds of people? Not all the people are winners. Not everyone is smart. The majority of the people are in a very low level. Why Hashem needs so much garbage in the world? Why? What for? Just make super people. Make 1 billion people in the world, or 500 million people, all brilliant, all sharp, all love to learn, all have a computer head, all have a great memory, and very high potential in spirituality, and finished. Why do you need to make so many wicked people? Too much garbage in the world. Look how many murderers and ISIS and pedophiles and rapists and thieves and liars. Why do you need that? It's enough that you have half of the world anti-Semites, racists, Nazis. Why Hashem needs all these people in the world? The answer, what's the answer? Shenivreu liyot latzadik letzevet. They were made to serve the superb, the righteous people. To serve them. How? How Muhammad serving me? Muhammad from ISIS is now fighting in Libya or in Syria. How does he serve me? The answer is, look at the world. Look at us. We go to yeshiva, we learn Torah, we keep Shabbat. We learn, we're constantly connected to Hashem. We do a lot of things. Hashem is in our mind every hour of the day. Our entire life is evolved around Hashem. In the marriage, in the bar mitzvah, in the yeshiva, in business, in everywhere. We connect to Hashem, whether we like it or not. This is our lifestyle. When we eat, we make bracha, we think about Hashem. You come to learn, you think about Hashem. You give tzedakah, you think about Hashem. You see a poor person, you say, how can I ignore him? Hashem is watching. Hashem is constantly are pushed into your brain every minute of the day, whether you want it or not. But how many things are done for us and we don't even appreciate it? For instance, when we do Birkat Hamazon, you have a piece of bread. How much a piece of bread costs? 10 cents. 10 cents. Not even. You ate one slice of bread, two slices of bread, you gave a quarter, you have a sandwich, Baruch Hashem. And now you read 5 minutes, Birkat Hamazon, 4 minutes. Some people, it takes them 20 seconds. They just open, they give a vish to the Sidur. Finished. 2 minutes, Nigmar. Ah, 2 minutes, it's long. 2 seconds. Yeah, finished. So, Aval, the question is, why we have to read such a long blessing? If we had to thank all the people that were involved in getting the 2 slices of bread to my plate, how many people would be on the list? Do you know? Millions of people. Millions. Do you know how many Muhammads would be in the list? How many Johns and how many Chris and how many Mustafas and how many Itziks and how many Mr. Lees? Mr. Lee from China. You know how many? If you see the list, you know how when you scroll down in a computer and the names are going and going and going and going. One guy wanted me to show him my website. I say, here, this is the website. Where is the lecture? Click on lecture. Okay, you want to see? Okay, we scroll down. So we're scrolling down. And it keeps going and going and going. So how many lectures? 1,000. Whoa, you want me to start with all this list? Give me 1 or 2. Say, okay, that's on the main page. On the main page, you have a few good ones. Just listen to them. Looks at the list. Just keep going and going. Why would we have to thank 5,000 Muhammads and 50,000 Mr. Lees and 20,000 Itziks and another 70,000 Isaacs and Johns? Why? Why? Because the answer is, this piece of bread right now, where did it start? There was one seed, grain, in a ground in China. Right? How did it? Somebody planted it over there. So Mr. Lee and his 15 kids, 15 Mr. Lee, they put rice or whatever they put in the ground, wheat, barley, so they put it. Then they put water. Then they cut. Then somebody else come and pick it up. They put it on a truck. And who made the truck? Volkswagen. So now you're traveling to Germany. Hans and Chris and Joseph, all the Germans. 50,000 Germans, the engineer, his wife that made him coffee every day, the college professor that taught him how to be an engineer, the people that made the roads, the people that made the tires of the truck, the people that advertised the company, the people that sell the oil, so the Arabs from Saudi Arabia. So now we're traveling to Saudi Arabia where all the oil came to Germany, that from there went to China, and from China arrived to Israel. And now you have to thank the owner of the grocery and to the electric company. You getting the point? In the end, hundreds of millions of people participated directly or indirectly in one piece of bread that you put in your mouth. How long will it take you to thank all of them? 70 years. So you eat one meal, 7 years. Thank you, and your life is over. So Hashem say, listen, after all, I'm realistic. Even though it's very important for me to be grateful and to thank everyone exactly how much they deserve, whether they're Jewish or not, doesn't matter. You have to be grateful. But it's not realistic that you're going to thank every person who participated in the operation of bringing this piece of bread to your plate. So you thank me. And it counts, you thank everyone, because without me, all of them are worthless. Not Hans, and not Mr. Lee, and Muhammad. They could not move an inch without me. I moved them, I supplied them with what they had. So you thank me, it counts like you thank all of them. So that's a very big thing. So the Rambam say, why Hashem made so many people? If Hashem will clean all the bad people, all the ignorant people, all the evil people, all the wicked people from the world, The righteous people will not be able to live 1 hour. Who's going to make roads? Who's going to clean the garbage? Who's going to be the doctor? Who's going to be the policeman to watch you? Who's going to be a soldier? Who will make roads? Who will make elevators? Who will make suits? Who will make your Borsolino hat in Italy?
Cars.
Planes. Refrigerator. Planes. You want to go? Your side. This. To the Kotel. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. Lag Baomer. Uman. Who's going to serve you? The world needs a lot of people. You understand what's going on here? The Mesilat Yesharim, the Path to the Just, in the end of chapter 15, the Mesilat Yesharim says like this. Really, it's very recommended for a person to be alone, isolated, without people around him. Somewhere in a mountain, in a room in a yeshiva, somewhere. The less people you see, the better it is for you. Why?
Less influence.
90% of your time will go to a waste. Your uncle, your cousin, the neighbor, the other neighbor, your parents, this, that, business, people. Non-stop conversation that are not helping you in any way in your life. How's the weather? Beautiful weather. This, that. You hear? They're changing the rules, the boards. They want to make a race. One conversation, another one. And your mother speaks about this. And your uncle. And that. And this. There's non-stop conversation who comes on the expense of learning Torah. Eventually, the more time you spend with people, the more bar mitzvah you're going to have to go to, the more brit, the more weddings, the more meetings, the more birthdays. How many hundreds of times I ask people, why didn't you come to the shiur you missed? Rabbi, I went to a birthday party. Birthday party, I thought his wife, no, his wife mitzvah. Birthday party of who? Of the uncle, of the cousin, of my neighbor. What's his name? To tell you the truth, I forgot. That justified to lose 2 hours of learning Torah, huh? 120,000 mitzvot from the Torah he lost. To sing happy birthday to John. Doesn't even remember his name the next day. Now, on the other hand, if a person will be lonely all his life, what's the risk? When you're alone and you don't communicate with any people, what's the risk? That you become crazy. You become crazy. If a person does not talk to anyone and is isolated, there is a nature of a person that if he talks to no one, slowly, slowly become mentally sick. Look at many people who were isolated and alone. They begin to talk to themselves. They begin to do a lot of strange things. They begin to collect garbage from the streets. They have all kinds of things in their living room. What makes it like this? Many, many years of loneliness. Now, I'm not talking lonely. Someone, his wife died, so he's 30 years alone. No. He has sons, he has neighbors, he has friends, he comes to yeshiva, he learns, he teaches, he has family. No, he talks to people, that's fine. I'm talking someone, for instance, in jail, they used to lock people in a small room, 2 by 2, you know, 2 meter by 2 meter, nobody talks to them, not one word, they push the food. Mentally, they're destroying them. He wants to talk to the Nazi, to the Arab, hey, Mustafa, say something. They don't talk. Why? Total isolation. It's called tzinok. You're locked in. If a mosquito comes, you're happy. Why? They destroy you mentally. ואף על פי הוא מגביל את הדבר והפרישות במנהגים הוא ההתבדדות וההבדל מן החברה דרמחל say what isolates you from the society, from the environment around you. It gives you time to think about life and about the right path and about Hashem and about the Torah that you learn. You focus, no one disturbs you, no one talks to you about fighting in a family and this uncle and the other neighbor and this one is sick and this one is happy and this one got married. Your mind is clear. Only Torah and holiness and isolation with Hashem. What can be better than that? ובתנאי שלא יתה גם בזה לקצה האחר. שכבר אמרו, the Gemara already said, רמחל סיין, in כתובות, page 17, לעולם תהיה דעתו של אדם מעורבת עם הבריות. A little bit, talk to the people. Don't totally isolate yourself from the world. Get involved a little bit. 2% of your time. 1% of your time. The rest, Torah and mitzvot. But a little bit, yes. But since you don't have that much time for people, when you finally connect with one or two people, connect with the best. יתחבר האדם עם הטובים. זמן מה שמצטרך לו ללימוד או לפרנסה. Find a person to learn with, the best one. Find someone to help you make a living. Partner, investor, supporter, whatever you want to call it. והתבודד אחר כך להידבק באלוהיו. And then, after one or two good friends that you have, that you're in touch with, that's it. Don't collect so many people in your Facebook page. What for? They'll waste all your life with their nonsense. What are you going to get by that? Attention? Wow, I'm so popular. I'm not talking about pages of rabbis. The more people come, the more people comes and learn Torah. It's good. I'm talking personal pages. Why do you need this? It's all fake anyway. Do you think you're going to have a problem? Anybody there cares about you? You have, Rabbi, I have 5,000 friends on my page. Test them. Tell them that you need a loan. See how many of them would come and ask you how much. Don't say an amount. Maybe 50 bucks you need. Write on your page, guys, I'm in financial stress. I need a loan. Anyone who is interested, please send me on my private message. From 5,000 friends, check how many of them would say how much you need. Maybe 50 would say how much you need. And from the 50, after you tell them $1,000, it will drop to one or two. Usually your brother or your cousin. They're embarrassed because you also lend them. You understand? What is this? It's all show. 5,000 friends. 5,000 is the most. So now, the Rambam also says, "Sim megamatcha leharbot beotam ha'itim asher ata ba'em im Hashem." Make sure to be alone with Hashem as much as you can. "Ubemi'ut otam be'itim asher ata ba'em im zulato." And be very little with someone else that is not Hashem. Meaning, 99 or even 99.9% of your time, you and Hashem. Very little here and there with people. I look at my cousin as a perfect example. He's a follower of the Ramchal. He's a number one world expert in Kitvei HaRamchal. Every year, the Ramchal Center invites him to speak in the Yortzeit of the Ramchal because they know that he knows all his books by heart, left and right, right and left. All his books, even the Kabbalah deep books. Every inch of the Ramchal life he is aware of. That's his role model in life. Ramchal. And he says, one time I heard him saying, I don't have any friends. I have wife, I have children. I was learning with Chacham Ben Tzion Abba Shaul 12 years while he was alive. It was my whole life, my whole world. Learning in a shiur, learning with him one-on-one. That's it. I learned here with one person, here with this rabbi, and that's just about it. Don't have one social friend. Nothing. It's me, Hashem, the books, here and there I learned with this chevruta, with that rabbi. We talk divrei Torah. Why wasting time on accumulating friends? You want friends? I have one or two good friends. It's enough. You don't need to collect. Rabbi, I have 5,000 names on my phone. Big deal. It's all fake. But at the same time, this is what he writes. I'm talking about the Rambam now. לעומת זאת, כתב על האיש המקדש שם שמיים בדרכו המיוחדת, אם דקדק החכם על עצמו והיה דיבורו בנחת עם הבריאות. Now, when you have a job, you're a teacher, you're a rabbi, you're running a yeshiva, you have a public job. Now, while you're there, you have to talk respectfully to the people, with manners, with respect, not to put anyone down, to have patience for them, even though they're not exactly brilliant. They're not in your level. It takes them 10 times more to understand simple explanations. But you have to have a lot of patience for them. ולא ירבה באריכות עמי הארץ ובישיבתם. When you need to meet ignorant people, do it short to the point. Don't socialize too much. Business meeting? תלמיד חכם may have a business. Maybe own a building, maybe own a house, he want to rent it. So he wants to interview a person. Short to the point. This, that, tick, 1, 2, 3, 4, finish, sign here, goodbye, here's the check, here is the key, goodbye. No, let's go here, let's have some lunch, let's have the dessert, come tomorrow is my son's bar mitzvah. The less talking to ignorant people, the less jeopardy to your life. He wants to mekarev them, it doesn't mean you have to become their personal friends. There's ways to mekarev them. You give them a book, you give them CD, you invite them to your lecture. That's plenty. You can even invite them for Shabbat. They come, they eat, you talk divrei Torah in the table with the rest of the guests. No problem. ולא יראה תמיד אלא עוסק בתורה, עטוף בציצית, מוכתר בתפילין ועושה כל מעשיו לפנים שורת הדין. Make sure your position will always be talit, tefillin, and the book is open. That's how you want to see yourself in life. The Meiri, also about 800 years ago, this is what he writes. Al ima'atu be'enecha sone echad. What does it mean? Even though you have only one enemy. You say, I have thousands of fans. They all love me, they all admire me. Who is this loser? I can care less what he say. It's only one verse 10,000. What can he do? That's a very, very wrong thinking. Why? One enemy sometimes can make more damage than a thousand or 10,000 friends can help to fix. All it needs is one low life that will make false accusation against you and your life is over. By the time they prove your innocence, you can already waste 30 years of your life in jail. ואל ירבו בעיניך אלף אוהבים. Don't be impressed that you have 1,000 people that loves you. This was written 800 years ago. He didn't know about Facebook, that you're going to have 5,000 minimum. So back then, 1,000 lovers? Oh, wow, you were a very popular person. 1,000, it's like a language of a guzma, exaggeration. He didn't know one day you can have 100,000 people on your page. Now, ובכל אופן, לא טוב הדבר שאדם משקיע זמן רב להיות מיודד עם כל אחד ואחד. You, Rabbi, I want to be friendly. I'm a friendly person. That's my nature. I like people. I love to socialize. I like to see it, I like to laugh with them, I like to have a drink with them. I'm talkative. Right? Good or bad? Depends to who? To a Talmid Chacham, someone in high level? Pure waste of time. This is it. Ish amitchaber tamid im ha'anashim, katan ve'gadol. A person that is friendly with everyone. Big people, small people, old people, young people. The public admire such a person. Why? Because they say he has no pride. He's very humble. Look how he loves everyone. He respects everyone. He's not only with the rich people. He's not only with the smart people. He's really nice to everyone. Look, what can be better than that? You have a very good reputation. בעיני העולם איש טוב הוא ומכובד. The world is respecting you. אבל האמת לא כן הוא. But it's false respect. It's not real. כי זהו לאות שנהנה מדברי פתיות. That's a sign that you live in illusion. You're afraid to be alone with yourself. You think that, wow, I'm friendly with him. I have a friend. He's my friend. In reality, maybe your wife is your friend. Maybe. Not always. משחוק ולצון ומאבד דעת האדם ומחלק גוף הנפש. These friends will take away all your life. Everyone will take a tiny hour of your life. An hour with him, half an hour on the phone with him, basketball game with him, lunch with him, a trip with him, a meeting with him, another phone call with him, gossip a little bit with him. What would happen? You have to share your time to 1,000 people now. An hour, your life is over. You have one or two good friends, you meet them in yeshiva and you learn, you talk 5 minutes a day on other things in life, finished. You don't burn time. Time is, in America, time is money. In a Torah, money, it's time. The more you run after money, the more you burn your life. Life, it's not money. Life here will determine how your life of eternity would be. ואין זה מדרך החכמים. It's not the way of the high scholar. The real chachamim don't waste time on conversations. Only on things that mamash berumo shel olam. And short to the point, even when Rav Ovadia Yosef Zatzal, he used to be the leader of Shas, political group in the Israeli government, every morning I saw in the book that I wrote, his biography, after Shachrit, they used to come to his room, living room, to consult with him about important government matters. Election today, this, we have to vote, how should we vote, there's a war about to start, what should we do, should we support, should we resist the war, should we give to the Arab, should we not give to the Arab, should we approve an attack, a lot of important questions. They have to vote. The meetings were 5 minutes. He did not let them talk. Quickly to the point. One, tak, tick, tak. This is what you do. Get up and go into his room. Brit Milah. He's the Sandak. Rule number one. You want me to be the Sandak? You come to my house, you do it in my shul. I don't go anywhere. I don't waste time. Transportation. An hour here, half an hour to there, until the guest coming. My time, every minute is important. Life will not return. Every minute, it's another level in eternity. I'm not burning it on nonsense. Not on sport, not on watching movies, not in sitting in traffic. Taking advantage on every minute. You want me to be Sandak, you come to me. No problem, of course, Rabbi, we come to you. How long was the Brit? How long? Go to hear the Brits here in the shuls. Until the Mohel come, until the Rabbi come, until the aunt came, until the uncle is on the way. And 3 hours, people fressing and eating. And what happened? Until finally the Brit starts. No one is in a rush. By him, the tefillah finish. Quick. Bring the tinok. Bring the baby. Put the baby. Come here, Moel. 1, 2, 3. Less than 5 minutes from the minute the Brit started, he was back in his room with the books. If there will be a delay, he goes back into the room, call me when the baby is ready, after the mohel prepared him, everything is ready, he comes quickly, sit 1 minute, finish, gets inside. Why? We didn't come here to socialize. We came here to earn our eternity, but that's a very high level of people. How do you get to such level? How do you get? People like, we had Rav Moshe Feinstein Zatzal in Lower East Side. Even when he was folding his tefillin, he was learning two Mishnayot every day. One time he made a siyum about Shisha Sidre Mishnah. They told him, Rabbi, what is this, a joke? You finished the whole Talmud 100 times. What, you now finish Mishnayot? You did it when you were in first grade. What's the occasion? He said, no, for me, it's a special siyum. Why? Because I did it while I was holding my tefillin. When everyone talks, coffee, there's coffee, somebody bought sugar, is it raining? What time is it? No. I was folding my tefillin, another Mishnah too. Like this, I finished the whole Shisha Sidre Mishnah. All the Mishnayot. I finished two a day, one a day, three a day. Why? While I was folding my tefillin. How long? 2 minutes? 1 minute? Another Mishnah. After a year or two, he finished it. He felt that he's like finding a treasure on the street. Why? Because anyway, he learns all day. But in the 2 minutes that he folds the tefillin, he wasn't learning before. So one day he thought, why would I waste a minute or two every day on this? On looking around. Let me learn another Mishnah or two. You have to be greedy for Torah, not for money. For Torah, it's mitzvah to be greedy. Mamash, before we finish, it says like this. Even a person that knows a lot of people, if you're a public figure, you know a lot of people. Aval chaverim ba'omek, but real friend, deep, real, em rak mu'atim. There's only very few friends. מי שהוא נמצא מבלה זמנו עם מספר רב של מכרים, סימן שאין לו באמת חברים. If you see a person is in touch with hundreds of people, every 2 minutes, Moshe, Yitzchak, Avram, this, that, the, all day. How many real friends he have?
Zero.
Sometimes a person will have in his phone in the names, his wife, his children, his parents' telephone number and two friends, strangers, two friends. What is this, 7 people in your list? 10 people? This is your whole phone book? Yes. But the two friends, Yitzchak and Avram, those two names, will do for me more than the 1,000 names you have in your phone. Anytime I will snap. You have 1,000 names, they do nothing for you. Nothing. But those two, they'll give their life for me if it's necessary. If I'll be in problem in the end of the world, I'll make a call or an email. In a minute, they'll be in a plane. Where are you? Tell us what you need. It's hard to find friends like this. But on the other hand, even if you have a good friend, you have to be careful not to be too pushy. What we say in Hebrew, nudnik. Don't be a pest. Every day shows up. Who is this? Itzik. Again, Itzik. Yesterday, Itzik. In the morning, Itzik. In the afternoon, Itzik. Tomorrow morning, again, Itzik. Shabbat, Itzik. Come Friday night. Kmo she'amar Shlomo. This is the word of King Solomon, the smartest person ever lived. Dvash matzata echol dayach. You found honey? Jar of honey. Pure honey. Wow. Look how nice it is. Clear. If you eat the whole jar, you die. You can eat the whole jar of honey, you'll die right away. Eat a little bit. 1 spoon, half a spoon. Ah, delicious. Enough. Don't be pushy. Why? Same thing, King Solomon continued the verse. Don't eat too much from your friends because he may get tired of you and become your hater. Come little at a time. 1 hour a week, 2 hours a week. Don't be pushy. Every day show up. In Israel, back then when I was a kid, it was the culture. You always have at least one neighbor in a building that like to move to live by you. You already know who it is. You don't ask. Open, same neighbor. Always come, always talk, always come to eat, always come again. People don't have tact. You have to know not to make yourself like a leech on a person's life. Not only that, when you find honey, delicious honey, You begin to eat one spoon, you enjoy. Second spoon, a little less. Third spoon, a little less. After 10 spoons, it becomes a torture. And you keep eating and eating. What happened eventually? You throw up. You vomit. When you vomit, you look at the floor, you see the steak you just ate an hour ago. $50 steak in a restaurant just came out. It was supposed to revive your body. You need meat to be strong. All the tomatoes you ate came out. Everything that you ate an hour ago also came out. So when you want too much, even the little that you had came out. You lost. What is the connection between this and friends? So sometimes you develop relationship with a friend. He likes you, he gives you, he does for you. But you push yourself too much. You push yourself on him more and more. At the moment he gets tired of you, not only does not stay your friend, it can turn very easily that he turns to become your enemy. And therefore, the situation that you're in right now is actually worse than the day you met him. The day you met him, your situation started to be better and better and better until you forced yourself too much. And in the end, it reversed to be worse than the moment you met him. Now your situation is much worse because now this important person became against you. So that's how people have to use their head, not to push too much. Not only that, Rav Yaakov Amdin, it says, כשאתה מבקר אוהב, when you visit a lover of yours, זכור שלא תכביד עליו. Remember not to be a burden to him. Especially אם הוא איש תרוד בלימוד, especially if he's a rabbi, he's very busy with learning, people, his mind is occupied all the time, או במסע ומתן, or he's a very big businessman, his businesses, employees, all day meetings. This person, his mind is not open for wasting time in socializing. He is very, very disturbed. Or if he's a sick person, he suffers, bathroom, in, out, blood pressure, doctor, hospital, problems in his life. Don't stay by him too much. He may not have the time and the mind for you because he's suffering. He will be quiet because he's embarrassed to put you down or to insult you, but you have to understand that even if he's nice, not to be a burden to busy people. And then וימשיך שם, חכם אחד, ביקור אדם הכבד, הוא קשה על החולה יותר מחוליו. Person is in bed sick, hospital or in his home. If a person heavy, in Hebrew you have an expression, Adam Kaved. Oof, איזה איש כבד זה. He's a heavy person. What does it mean? What does it mean, heavy person? A heavy person that comes to visit the sick is worse than the sickness. What does it mean? Listen carefully, what does it mean, a heavy person? When he comes to visit, he doesn't come 10, 20 minutes and then he gets up, give you bracha and leave. He stays there 7 hours. The patient wants to rest, to sleep, to eat. He's embarrassed to eat in front of him. He actually became a punishment. Then, will always ask you personal question. Rabbi, tell me, how did you do this? What age you started this? What age you got married? Did you ever go here? Which one of your sons you love the most? That's an FBI investigation. I'm talking from experience. Rabbi, I'm sorry to be pushy, but I have some questions for you. 15 personal questions. Like you have time now to waste half an hour on him. No, what are you going to do now? What else? יבוא בסוד אחרים בלא רצונם. Push his nose to other people's business. How much you pay for the store? Wow, nice suit. Where did you get it? What is it your business? How much you paid? Good. What's the brand? Can I see? Where is the box? Tell me, your father helped you when you opened the business? How much he gave you? Did he also help your brother?
How do you answer these annoying questions?
After the lecture, you ask me that. Or when you are very disturbed and sad, and he begins to laugh with his nonsense. Not only you eating your heart, you have a serious problem. This clown came to laugh in your face. He doesn't think, has no tact. Or, as soon as you tell him a secret, minute later he runs to tell the whole world. Rav Shlomo Even Gvirol. In Tel Aviv you have a street, Even Gvirol. The real name was Eben Gvirol, but they made it in Hebrew Even. Even Gvirol, this is what he said. Lechshet kshirtze litchaber im adam. You want to know if this person is a loyal, good friend? One time test him. How do you test a friend? Achiseu, make him angry one time, on purpose. If in the time that he's angry, he's still speaking the truth, then you know he's 100% loyal, faithful person, honest. Because in time of anger, people usually tend to forget about the truth. They want to satisfy their anger and revenge. They don't care about the facts. But even he's very precise in his language, even when he's fuming. Wow, that's an honest person, no matter what's the situation. This is the advice of Rav Shlomo Even Gvirol. Al tivtach be'odat mi shetiten lo ad shetimna mimeno. Explanation. Someone that compliments you and give you all kinds of nice praises, don't think he's your lover. He's doing it because he's receiving from you. You want to know if he really thinks that what he say that is really his thoughts? Prevent from him for a week or two or three. Then see if he continue to praise you and he's still your friend and defend you in any opportunity. Al tismoch al ahavato ki ahava tluya badavar. Don't count on his love because his love to you is conditional. As long as he's receiving from you right now, business, help, advices, you hosting him, all kinds of things. So he's going to be extra nice to you because that's his interest right now. After you prevent from him what he wants, then you check if he's a real friend or fake friend. Mi sheishlich tirchato alecha al ta'amin be'avato. Someone that throw all his problems on you is not a friend. He's taking advantage on you. Meaning, he got used to the fact that you became his personal servant. He may tell you, I love you. It can also be between husband and wife, by the way. He can tell you, I love you, I appreciate. Don't believe them. Why? They need it, and that's the price they pay. Words. Al titchaver ela lemi shemakir erech ma'alato. When you choose a friend, don't ever take a clown or a person that have no shame, that will embarrass and frame himself in public by the way he dresses, by the way he talks, by the way he gets drunk in a restaurant or in a wedding and gets on a table and dance like this and take his shirt off. You don't want friends like this. Because he doesn't evaluate himself as a son of Hashem. He treats himself like he's garbage. He has no dignity. You don't want to be friends with someone like that. One more thing. When you love a person, don't talk about him in public. Why? Don't compliment him in public. Don't praise him in public. Why? It's just a matter of time until one of his enemies or someone that is jealous with him will come to start telling you Lashon Hara about him, or to make lies about him. Why? This is the way the world is. It got to the point that I learned a lesson. It took me many years to learn it. But I learned a lesson that even when I meet a person fresh, I just met him, and I'm a very good friend of his brother, we have good relationship, I don't tell him. Because I don't even know if he loves his brother. With the way the world turns and so many people hate each other, there is absolutely no guarantee that one brother loves his brother. I found thousands of cases that they hate their brother more than they hate Yasser Arafat. So as soon as you mention his brother, you see right away, and I know body language, even if he won't dare to speak against his brother, knowing he's my friend, but you see right away how his body became different as soon as his brother came up. Today it happened to me. Today a very big rabbi asked me if I can publish his words on my Facebook page. There's 83,000 people in the Hebrew page. He wants to become more famous. I say, absolutely. And I'm invited by his brother to speak in his yeshiva in 10 days from now. And I didn't tell him a word about it. What do I know? How do I know if he loves his brother or if he's jealous with him? Maybe they're jealous with each other. Maybe they are in competition. It could only bring bad. If they like each other, and I tell him, you know, I'm going to speak by your brother's yeshiva in 2 weeks or in 10 days. If they love each other, he's going to tell me, great, yishar koach. What did it help? If they hate each other, he may tell me, listen, you don't know things. You shouldn't do it. And then I'm going to become Ben HaPatish LaSadan in the middle of a world war. What for? Don't talk. He's your friend. No, nobody has to know. I'm telling you, how many times people expose their relationship, somebody went and destroyed it from the back. You learn. Sometimes it takes many years to learn. You have good relationship with someone in business, make sure nobody knows about it. How do you make money? Don't say how. You can say, I have a friend, he does all the work, I give him some money, and we are partners. Maybe he hates the person and he's going to go and ruin it. Maybe he hates you, so he's going to go and ruin it. Maybe he's just a jealous person. He doesn't hate you. He doesn't hate him. He just hates the fact that someone has a way to make money and he doesn't. So he's going to go and ruin it. It can be in a family. It can be your brother-in-law. It can be your cousin. It can even be your father. That's how bad it is. Unbelievable. Al tiftach b'mi she'ischak lefanecha. Someone that is a joker, there's not one time with him that is not a joke and laughing. All over. Stay away from this clown. Nothing good would come out of him. You're not supposed to laugh now. I just say not to laugh. Then, המשכיל שומר את עצמו מאוהביו יותר ממה שישמור עצמו מאויביו. A wise man is careful with his lovers more than he's careful with his enemies. Tell me the logic here. What's the logic here? You have a friend, he'll die for you. He saved your life in a war. In any hundreds of times in your life with him, he was always the first one to run and defend you. And then you have an enemy all day fighting you, trying to destroy you for 20 years. The advice of the Chachamim, be more careful than your love from your lover than your enemy. Can you tell me the logic here?
The enemy you expect already, you know. You do not expect anything bad, good. You expect that some, you know.
No.
The good can...
You're right. About the beginning of what you say, you're right. But the second thing that you say, it's not possible. Why? Because we're talking about someone that already proven himself to you hundreds of times. It's not somebody that did one or two favors to you. You don't know when something can go wrong. The answer is, if one day you will make a mistake, you will hurt your friend. We are not angels. We can make mistakes. Maybe you say to someone something, and because of that, he canceled the deal with him. He didn't mean bad. And he found out. And he went crazy. Maybe you didn't show up to his daughter's wedding because you knew it's not going to be so modest. He's good, but his daughter not so religious. But he took it to his heart, and from that moment on, he's not your friend anymore. Why you have to be careful from him when he's your lover? Because when you have a lover, you tell him all your private secrets. And when one day he becomes your enemy, he destroys you in a minute. Because he has information against you that you gave him when you trusted him. And now you're in his hands and you are in serious problem. The enemy doesn't know anything about you. Besides lies, what else can he say? But somebody that you gave him all the secrets. You told him things that you do right, things that you do wrong, what you did here, what you did when you were a kid. Now he goes and he spreads it to the whole world. And you're done.
If he's a real friend, how can you do it? It's impossible.
Friends become enemies. You didn't see it?
Real friends
become enemies. Real brothers, brothers. Brothers become enemies. Brothers become enemies. You heard about Shaul HaMelech and David HaMelech? They used to be friends. And then one wanted to murder the other. And these were two very holy people. It's not me and you. It's two of the holiest people in history. Everything is possible. Right? Im tirtze liot ahuv, tohav v'titnaeg imahem b'musar tov. To the people. Behave. Be respectful. אם יש לאל ידך, לא תשכח להטיב ולענות מטוב אשר יטיב לך השם. You have money, השם blessed you. Give, be generous, help. Not only to the needies, to those who are not exactly needies. Just be good. Why? It lowers the evil eye. It's good, at least it's sharing. Their eye is not on you. They're not wishing you bad. Why? You're nice to them. You help them. You're good. לטובתך ולהנאתך תפקדו לפרקים. Give them visits here and there to give them respect. בהראות אות אהבה וחיבה עם איזה ענה ותענוג אשר יחסר לו. Give him attention. כי על ידי זה תתקשר החיבה והאהבה בין בני האדם. Thanks to that, you will develop love with this friend. האומר שלי, שלי ושלך, שלך, זו היא מידת סדום. If you have a friend, יקה, pedantic. What's mine is mine, what's yours is yours. You is your roommate. He puts a bottle of Coca-Cola in a fridge, he writes, Reuven. And on yours, he writes, Yaakov. That's mine, that's yours, let's not go into each other's territory. You don't want friends like this. You want a friend, what's mine is yours, what's yours is mine. We're not sitting and calculating how much you drink from my bottle and how much I drink from your bottle. How many times you paid for me in a restaurant? How many times I paid for you? How many times you came to sleep in my house? How many times I came to your house? If you're going to start measuring, the first day of your friendship is a poison. That's not friendship. מי שעשה לך טובה, תאה הודעתך בפועל ובמעשה. Be grateful in actions, not only in words. Thank you, thank you, thank you, it's important. Tomorrow you have an opportunity to return, return. When you give respect to your lover as he deserves, and you see that he never gives you respect as you deserve, stay away from this person. Rabbi Yaakov Amdin. Why? It's just a matter of time until you fight. Go away from him. Why? You respect him a lot. You, and he does nothing in return. He doesn't respect you. You don't need friends like that. The last thing for today, and we're done. The Agaot Yesh Nochalin. Who is Yesh Nochalin? He was the son of the Shla HaKadosh. 500 years ago in a generation of the Ari HaKadosh in Tzfat. They live in a generation of the Ari in the same neighborhood. בעזרת לשון הרע ושיחת חולין. Warning of לשון הרע and false unnecessary conversations. היזהר מישיבה אצל מי שלא תלמד ממנו. Be careful not to hang out with people that there's nothing to learn from them. Spiritually meaning. אל תדברו עם מקולקל. Stay away from rotten people or from criminals. Stay away from crazy people. Meaning angry that will never admit the truth. No matter what. Why? Because when you say something, they will never accept it and it will get them to put you down. Chazal chinchu, our sages taught us, Mena incha me'eshet chen, be careful not to go to a place that there is a pretty woman over there. If your friend has a pretty wife, don't go to his house. Why? En apotropus la'arayot. The chance that you're going to be there an hour or two and not look at your wife's beauty, it's almost impossible. And even, of course, you're a kosher person, you will never dare to speak to her privately or to chas v'shalom touch her. It's enough that you look at her and think, what a beautiful woman. It's already a sin from the Torah and a severe one. Since it's very difficult not to fall into this trap, you don't put yourself in a place that you may fail. Even there's a 1% chance. Don't go there. Where does it say it? מענה אינך מאשת חן, פן תלקד במצודתה. Watch your eyes from staring on a pretty woman because you will fall in her trap. Even if she does nothing to trap you, her existence around, it's already a trap. ואל תת אצל בעלה, and don't go too much to her husband. You have meeting with her husband. Meet him in the office. Meet him in a restaurant. Don't meet him in his home. Meet him in your house. Don't meet him in his house. Why? Because it's just a matter of time until this business meeting will turn into looking at her. Married, eshet ish, you're looking at her. Limsoch imo yain v'shechar, especially if there's some drink, bismo ishmo, come, bring the bottle. Now, bechlal, you drink half a bottle. Bechlal, your eyes became a radar. כי בתואר אישה יפה רבים הושחתו. A title of a pretty woman destroyed many people. ועצומים כל הרוגיה. The disaster, the devastation that it did to many kosher people is tremendous. מנה רבים מתוך ביתך. If you have a very pretty wife, don't bring the whole world to your house. Because if you brought 100 people, it's enough that 1% of them are not modest, and who knows what they're thinking about. That party turned into a very big sin. Not to talk about that you have guests that develop hours on conversation with your wife. Talking and talking, they think that maybe they grew up in the same college or something. ולא הכל תביא ביתך. Don't bring every person to your house. כי אין אפוטרופוס לעריות. This is Gemara in Masechet Yevamot, page 63. Right? And there's another reason for it, that the Gemara say you shouldn't bring just everyone to your house. Second reason, besides modesty, is that sometimes people steal. They see things that is nice and precious, easy to put in a pocket. They cannot resist the temptation, especially if they poor. You see a silver coin, I don't know, a diamond ring, all of a sudden, puts it right away in his pocket. Go and now check which one of the guests stole it. But stealing is one thing. Apotropos la'arayot is much, much worse. Bezrat Hashem, don't forget, next Monday, no shiur. I'm going to be in Eretz Yisrael, Bezrat Hashem, for the whole week. We'll be back here in 2 weeks, Monday, 8:15. Baruch Adonai le'olam. Amen.